Log Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us with another live episode of Love and Life. I am your host, Roger Love. Yes, I am. How are you? Yes, yes. I'm also joined by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, Roger Love. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous, honey. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful.
Well, all righty then, and a junk and stuff. Okay. Well, girl, let us go on and get this day started the way we should be doing it all the time. But, you know, we don't always do it like this, but we should be. That's why we have it as a format, you know, because it just seems to work. But, you know, okay, I'm going to start off with some nice little birthday wishes and junk and stuff. Because that's just what we do. Yes, we do. Starting with today. Good girlfriend of mine from way back in my church-going days. Mm-hmm. Her name is Cherie Roy. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Cherie is turning, oh, my goodness, 46 years old, girl. You're the same age as my sister. I'm realizing that now, yeah. Because they were good friends also, bless their hearts. Well, they are, should I say, because, you know, yeah. And so, yeah, she's turning 46 today, bless her heart. Ooh. Well, enjoy your day, honey. That's what you do on your birthday. You enjoy your day, okay? And also coming up tomorrow, Miss Jackie, Courageous Lady Cahey. That's what her name is on Facebook. So that's what I'm going to call her today, Courageous Lady Cahey. Okay, Now, I don't know how fitting that name is because I don't know her personally, but she is definitely a fan of the show, so I'm a fan of hers as it is. So you enjoy your day, Miss Jackie, okay? That's what you do. And then shooting straight down to Friday because there's no birthdays in between. Friday, November the 4th, Mr. George Huff. Yes, if y'all ever known who Mr. George Huff is, he is one of my most favorite contestants on American Idol Season 3. Yes, he came in, I believe, was he fifth place, or fifth runner-up or something like that? I can't remember, but he came in right before Jennifer Hudson in that lineup, yes. We all remember that season, honey. It was very scandalous. Yes, it was. Crazy as hell, but Fantasia wound up winning, as she should have won, but, you know, that's what, you know. So that's what that was about, but yes. But that's George Huff. He's one of my favorites on that show. One of my favorite people to listen to sing because he can blow. The boy sounds like a young David Luther to me. He does. He really does. Mm-hmm. But that's my birthday wishes for the week. Happy birthday, y'all.
Happy birthday, y'all.
All right, now.
And my birthday wishes is I have, hold on, I'm going to put you on. Just lost my birthday wishes. Here we go. My brother-in-law's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Benson Walker.
All right.
He don't have his age on here. How old is he? He's 40. Lordy, Benson, you 40. Yeah, you don't have it on here, but your brother just told me about that. Happy birthday, Benson. Next, October 31st, I have Tino King. He's turning 43. Happy birthday, Tino. Then I have Cardell Ross. His birthday is October 31st. Happy birthday, Cardell. November the 2nd, I have my cousin, Sanji Letty. Happy birthday, Sanji. And on November 4th, I have another cousin, Shannon Walker. Happy birthday, Shannon. That's my birthday wishes for the week.
All right, then. And junk and stuff. Happy birthday, y'all. Well, Gare. All right, now. You got a lot of cousins, too, child. I got a lot of cousins, but you got a lot of cousins, too. I didn't realize you had that many cousins, but, you know. But yes, all righty then, girl. So let us. Girl, you ready for some good conversation? I want to have out of the question that I'm about to ask you, honey.
All right, that's cool.
Okay, now, see, I posted it on Facebook yesterday, but of course, I posted it kind of late, so I'm not sure if anybody actually even seen it. But question is, what do you do or how do you handle it, girl, when there's somebody that's around you that you just know is just not a great person, you know what I'm saying, not such a good person to be around, but you have to be around them? You know, it's the situations that lead to that you have to be around that person, but you just know it's not a good person to be around. And it's not to say so much that that person has actually done so much to you, per se. But you just, you know, you hear the way that they talk, and then you just see how they, you know, act and things of that nature, and it's just like, why do I have to be around this person, Jesus? Oh, yeah, because we work together. Yeah.
I think we all have had one of those.
Oh, it's something. It's a dangerous situation to be in because you just never know when stuff might actually wind up popping off and, you know, what side of the fence stuff going to land on. But, you know. It's one of those situations that I find myself in, of course, at least at one of the places that I work at, but just not everywhere, thank God, because it's like if you go to work and you find yourself always being around somebody that you just should not be around, shouldn't have to be around, it's like, okay, one of these days that person is going to get, you know, get caught saying some stuff, you know, and they're going to, you know, it's going to all come to a head at some point because they just is that kind of person. And give you an example of what I'm talking about. I might as well just going to put it out there, child. And I'm not going to put no names out there. I'm not.
Okay.
Not this time, at least. Because I'm like, yeah, I didn't mean to do it last time I said names, but it just happened. You know what I'm saying?
You was just in the moment.
In it, girl, and it was like, yeah, names just flew out. But, child, but not today. So, now, there's this person that I work with, you know, at one of my jobs. And that person, now, they claim, and I say claim because, you know, to be is something different than claiming. You know what I'm saying? So he claims, and I said he, yes I did, claims to be a man of God. You know what I'm saying? He's a pastor at a church, I think. And the things that you hear, so it must be some truth being spoken, huh? Okay. The things that you hear come out of his mouth is truly anything but godly, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that he cusses a lot, because it doesn't really cuss that I hear. But he's about everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody.
He wasn't a hypocrite.
Yeah, but just not personal. That's, you know, they said some things about me that I've heard from way down the hall. But, of course, getting myself all laughy, giggly, and now you're doing you the man and all that other kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, now you work with this person. You're not sure how much longer you're going to be working with that person on either end because you're just never sure where things are going to go. But you work with this person, and every day you see this person, it's like you just see that, you know, that fake phoniness with them. And at the same time, you just know the kind of person that they are from just hearing what they say about people. And then they want to bring you into it, but you try not to engage in it because it's like it's just not you. But they're constantly just saying different stuff. And I'm like, when it comes to me, you know, I just look at it like, you know what, my head just turns at this point. I'm not going to engage you in this conversation. But you keep trying it. And it's like, okay, at some point, do you ever just be like, you know what, will you just stop? Stop. It's like, in a situation, that would have been the case. But only in this situation, it's not, because of my situation. You know what I'm saying? So how do you deal with that? What do you do? What do you say? You know?
I had a similar type of work environment. The same type of position that you had. And there was a person that was always in drama, always doing something, but always played the innocent because they were the person that did it, threw a rock, hit their hand, like it wasn't them. And they were always in the middle of something. Anything that was going on at the job, they were in the middle. But, of course, they didn't do it. It was always someone else. But they were always that, you know, and everybody thought they were the sweetest and nicest person because in their face they were the sweetest and nicest person. But behind their back they were just evil. And, but nobody could put their hands on it to say, oh, it was that person.
Right.
Unless you wasn't in the situation, you could sit back and pretty much see. But the person was always, but in everybody's face that they would do it to, they were just the sweetest and nicest person. And I don't care for people like that. I hate to deal with people that are evil type people. Huh?
Multi-faced.
Right. So I tended to stay away from that person. Even though I worked closely with that person. I worked in the same, their desk, their cubicle was maybe 3 cubicles away from mine. So I had to pass this person, see this person. But it got to, even when the person would come, when we were, you know, getting coffee or whatever at the water container and have, you know, like conversations. And my conversation was pretty much, good morning. So what are you doing today, blah, 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 blah. I'm real busy, real busy. I'll talk to you. And that's how my conversations went all the time. I was extremely busy. And, of course, we all know I was not.
Okay. But
that was the way to avoid that person.
Always busy for foolishness.
Huh?
You're always too busy for foolishness. Be like, girl, I don't have
exactly.
That's my nails dry.
Exactly. Even if I was headed to lunch, I was also busy. Had to get there so I could get back and get my work done.
I was like, no, I just have to hurry up and get out of here. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. You know, it's because another person had came up right behind when this person was sitting there talking to me. Like, where I'm at, I'm just sitting at my own little desk, you know, but people like to come through and, you know, start talking and whatnot. And, you know, another person came right behind him after hearing what he was saying, and then that person was like, you and your friend, it's your friend that. And I'm like, girl, you know, dang well, that ain't my friend. Okay, stop playing.
Stop giving you
that. So, yeah. Yeah.
Stop giving you riffraff, huh?
Don't give me that. No. Friend, give me somebody worth it. Okay, that ain't it.
Was it job one or job two?
Job, well, the main one at this point. So I'm going to say that, yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, yeah. And I'm like, no.
Was it the one that said that derogatory stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it.
That one. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'm like, it's just retarded because it's straight with everybody sees those colors come out on you, but at the same time, it's like it's nothing that you could really do about it because, I mean, it's just their words, and they say whatever it is they want to say, and they act but. The stuff that they be saying about the managers, of course, and like I said, the things that they say about people are never really said directly to the person. It's always to other people about the person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, all the stuff you be saying out your mouth, and it's like, okay, yeah, but then it's like, trust, not even a little bit, no further than I can see, and then at that point, I still got to watch just to make sure you ain't saying or doing anything, you know?
Exactly. I got to keep my good eye on you.
Exactly. Like, I don't want none of that on me at all. None of it. Back it away.
As far as possible.
Okay. So that's the thing. It's like, yeah, it's just, it's that kind of situation that just really just, it sucks, but at the same time, it is, and it's life. It is, you know, because people.
It is.
Wherever you are, wherever you work, you know, the only place you may have control over not dealing with those kind of people is in your own home. So, you know, if you, I mean, if you ain't got no cheering that, or, you know, or your other people that might come over, it's like, okay, yeah, you can keep that peace in your home. But outside of the home and you, in the world, in the workplace or wherever, yeah, you might have to deal with that kind of stuff all the time.
Right.
And it sucks. It does. Because
you know that fool of, you know what I call it.
Yes. Yeah,
but has anybody else noticed? Because I realize when people do stuff like that other people really don't notice it.
The
people that's in control, I should say.
The second person that came in? That's how we were talking about the conversation. Because that person knows that person also.
Mm-hmm.
He's how that person operates in our next conversation I had with that, you know, with the other person. Because, yeah, that's why that person was saying, your friend. But like, no, honey, that's not my friend.
You know? No, but I'm talking about people in, people like.
No, that's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. Those people seem like they never see it or notice it, you know?
And
like the two-faced.
That they be saying about other people, they're never saying it to those people. Or
right.
They would go back to those people and say it. It's like, no, he would not. No. Mm-mm.
Right.
He'll say it to everybody else about those people. Managers and his chief engineer, which he just considers his chief engineer. Of his patron or whatnot, or his boss or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my line of, you know, anybody that's a manager is, me.
Mm-hmm.
So, be it directly or indirectly, this is my superior. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that person, he does not see it like that. And it's like, well, you know, I don't know who you report to, but it is what it is.
Right.
So, yeah, but no, not say anything towards them. But now, I will say that sometimes he just act like a petulant child.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, when we're in meetings, they're talking to them. And, get them. You know, and it's like that kind of juvenile behavior, that stuff. It's like, oh, you know they're talking to you, and you're just sitting up there like, Like, really? Okay. Yeah. But that's that full of freaking, that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Did you lose signal, girl? Miss Kiki?
I'm sorry, Roger Love. I was trying to black out the background because I was making some coffee. I didn't want you to hear all my pots and pans and everything else rattling.
And the clanking and the foolishness. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, you know. I call myself being a little courteous to our listeners. They ain't have to hear me with my extra going on.
But it is sometimes. That is definitely the way it is sometimes because I do it too. But I just try not to
Yeah. I'm making coffee and I don't need y'all to hear all the rata tata 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 tata. But back to what we were just to piggyback on what you were saying, sometimes they do the two-faced thing because they don't want their superiors, and that's why I asked you if the superiors got a whiff of how they are. But they usually become more two-faced because they don't want that to be heard by their, you know, people that are in authority.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be seen like the, oh, such a nice guy.
Now, see, I will say this. The people at the corporate office, that's how they see him because, yes, that's how he comes across to them. Now, those two, he doesn't say anything bad about, for the most part, the people at the corporate office. Those are his people, apparently.
Of course, of course.
Mm-hmm. Those are the people in the big house. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Same with the young lady I was telling you about that a couple of cubicles away. Everybody in authority, that was her peeps.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else,
mm-hmm.
They were her peeps while they were in her face.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because I wonder if they realize that their peeps don't give a dog on about
them. Child. It's called delusion. That's what I call it. Because
that's what I think.
They're going to see it however they want to see it. Yeah, those are my people. I'm going to be so nice to them because they're where they are and they're where I want to be and all that kind of stuff. So whatever it is that they feel about them, they don't care. That's not the problem. That's not the point. Their point is that
mm-hmm.
people, because that's where she's trying to be.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how they feel about her.
Right. So but to actually be around now in workplace,
mm-hmm.
you have to deal.
Yeah.
To flip that in personal life.
Mm.
You ain't got the deal.
It's what they call that stay away from me kind of thing. I know how not to answer a phone. I know how not to go and see somebody. I know how to not be around people in my personal life. But at work, you got to see them. You got.
Well, what about it? What about at church?
Even
y'all want at church?
The same pew. You know, you don't have to sit next to them at the front. You know what I'm saying? You can sit in the back or on the side, somewhere in between. You don't have to be next to them in church. You don't. At the church, when they're getting ready for the meet and greets, you know, you say hey to people. You say hi and bye because you don't want to be rude. You say hi and bye. You don't have to stand there and hold these kind of conversations in church. You don't have to be. You don't have to deal with it at church. You know. But when you're sitting down at your desk and people are passing and you're stagnant where you are, but you're at the front, you're right there in the front, you know what I'm saying? People stop there and they start talking to you. It's kind of like, yeah, you can be rude and be like, look, get out of my face with that foolishness. Go. But is that the tone that you want to set, you know, being at work?
But you don't want to set that at church either.
Look,
because you got people that pass by you while you're sitting in the pew and, you know they're messy.
And I say you keep it moving, girl. It's like, yeah, you sitting in a pew, but that, guess what? When the service is going on, they're not going to be sitting up there holding up a conversation in the middle of a service. If they are, they're just being rude. And let the pastor...
No, I mean before or after service, when you're collecting your things and they make their way to you, knowing you don't fool with them.
Mm-hmm. That's why you give them that, hey, girl, how you doing? Oh, girl, oh, yes, ma'am, I got to go. But I'll talk to you later. Bye. Keep it moving quickly and swiftly and professionally.
Yeah, I just think it's a little harder at church because you don't want to seem like you being the demon.
You're playing. Like, hey, girl, how you doing? Yes, girl. I got to go, girl. I'll talk to you later. I'll holler. Mm-hmm. You're being nice, see?
Or you can also be like Kevin Clay and just don't speak to nobody at work. Just have a nasty attitude with folks at work.
See, and that, yeah. ain't that mean.
Right. I mean, he is in control, you know, but at the same time.
Yeah. See, he has a...
Okay, so how you handle that, Roger Love, when you work, you're the boss, you have to deal with that type of stuff. And it's more of a personal...
Well, as I...
Personality issue.
Being in his position.
So much of a work issue.
Look, being in his position, he may not really truly have to deal with that because he's in that power of authority, see? Whether,
right, but we all been in that power.
No, we ain't all been in it. I got my right foot in that position, but the left foot didn't join it because it wasn't there long enough. But
mm-hmm. Well, let's speak for myself. I would have to deal with it if I hired... Because I don't, especially I feel that it is not more about work, it's just about the person messiness, but the person works, I would deal with
But see,
because it's all about work.
Too. Does it affect the flow of work being done sometimes? Because sometimes it does. Well, let me say, at least in this instance, it does. And I say that because.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, and I say that because there's this attitude that when you're working with the other people that you work with and you have the same things to be doing that they're supposed to be doing, that they should be doing, that but you're doing it too, and nobody's doing anything because, oh, they don't do anything, they lazy, they this, they that, they this, that's the attitude. And then when you're trying to get stuff done, you have to relay. It's like everything has a process, as you know, in management.
Right.
Something coming in from the tenant, it comes to the management office first. We submit to the engineers. The engineers are supposed to carry out the job, and then relay it to the tenant what all they did, and then close it out once it's been done in that instance. If you're the kind of person that this person seems to be, when we get it in, we submit it to all of the engineers, basically. And then if you're one of the ones like, well, they don't do nothing, so I'm not doing this, I'm going to let them handle that. You know, then it's like, okay, well, who's going to actually handle it? Somebody got to go. Then we got to call it to the people.
Right.
Never answers their radio, because if you're that kind of person, you're not trying to answer your radio unless we're calling you specifically after about two or three times because you're ignoring it. You're sitting outside having conversations and not answering the radio, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's why I said, and it's like that attitude, like you're ignoring people because you're acting like you don't hear them, but yeah, you hear them, that kind of thing. It does reflect in the work sometimes, but at the same time, it's still kind of saying like, well, you still have that saying, well, I just didn't hear it. But you know that they heard, that they're just saying, well, I didn't hear anything. So it carries over to the work also. But then after all is said and done, whoever gets it and the work gets done, that's what the managers are seeing. So if you were witnessing...
Well, see, now that's a different type of the way I was taking it.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking it that he just was an ass, for better lack of word, just to his counterpart. But when it came to work, it didn't bother anyone.
No, it's a factor. It is definitely a factor.
And see, the young lady I was speaking of, hers is actually a factor as well. But, of course, she blames it on other people as well.
Mm.
So maybe it's the whole gist of the way they do things, you know, being that they always in other people's ish.
Right.
And for him being, like you said, he is a man of God, but you always in some ish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
girl,
you always have attitudes and things like that.
And what's happening, girl? Now, you know, I've been told that it's fine for me to listen to music at work, so I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you. So So, you know, in passing, they hear me, you know, because you know me, if I'm listening to music, I'm going to be singing something, but not loudly, but just, you know, to myself. And in passing, they heard me, and it was like, oh, I'm about to invite you to come sing at my church.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yes, ma'am. And you know what my thought is? Woo, honey.
No, he didn't.
He asked me to come and sing at his church. I'm like, child, I would not step, you know, 10 in that church. I knew where it was, you know. Oh, damn.
Now, see, you can't lower your standards because of him.
Oh, no, child, I'm not lowering my standards, honey. I'm just saying, child, this is the church that you are leading, and this is what you have as your leader. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can have that. And I'm not one to try to judge people personally, but this is the kind of person that person is. I don't want to be around that kind of person. And then especially, you know, being how you are and claiming to be a man of God. My thing is, a man of God, they may not be perfect in no way, shape, or form, you know what I'm saying? But they're not disrespectful to people. You know what I'm saying? They don't judge people themselves and then try to make it seem like it's all they're holy. You know what I'm saying? No, that's not what God does. And that's the kind of person that you are. So I'm not going into that church because if that leadership is coming from you, especially with the things that you actually said about me, you know, you can keep that. Mm-mm. You can keep that. No. No, that church would not see my face like that. I'm sorry. God, no. Now, if I could touch on another quick subject, girl, which I was thinking was going to be a little bit longer than what we talked about, but, you know, see if we can get a little few things in there. Now, I'm not sure if we talked about this before, but I know I've talked about it before in a post that I posted on Facebook many, many, many moons ago. And it was a question of, what are you first? And if you're not sure what the question is asking, let me break it down for you. Because, you know, I came across something recently on YouTube that kind of brought me back to that thought. And from some of your friends on YouTube, girl, Miss Justin J. and Adrian The Experience or The Expression?
Expression.
Yes, Adrian Expression, yes. They did a blog saying, are you black first or are you gay first? And so to me, that brought me back to when I actually did that post, what are you first? Back in 2000 and something. I can't even remember the year, but years ago. And it's a question because people have this thing, whereas when you're supposed to stand up and represent, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, there's only one thing at a time that you can represent, that you have to put everything else about you behind this kind of one thing. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and before I tell you what my response is to that, let me see if I can get an insight from you real quick because, you know, we got a few more minutes, but, yeah, I want to make sure you get your words in, too.
Okay. A person is always black first because you were that before you even was, both your parents are black, I think you're black first. And I think with people deciding on, I think you can be multi anything.
Mhm.
But I do think you're black first. That's just my opinion on it.
Okay. And see, and I get that because it's like, you know what, a lot of people when they hear that question, I think what they're coming from the mentality of what's a parent, you know. When someone sees you, what would they see? You know, if they're around you, what's the first thing that they pick up about you? And it's like for most people, it's skin tone could be one thing, you know. Your tone is definitely something that they see first. But even in that, you know, it's still to say, well, yeah, my skin tone might be darker than most, but at the same time, this is not all of what's in the skin tone. You know what I'm saying? You might be Puerto Rican, Chinese, you know, Hawaiian, Islander, whatever, mixed in with African American, or even a mixture of those other things, and you just happen to have dark skin. And in some cases, you know, hair that's not so much straighter than others. But at the same time, but when people see you, that's what they see. You know what I'm saying? But for that particular person, okay, well, they may not be African American, but that's what people assume that they are, or that's what people expect to be them to be because of the skin tone. And that's what they would expect them to represent. You know what I'm saying? But my whole thought about it is like, you know what, for me, and I think this is what I guess I'm going to say that Justin J. and Adrian was actually alluding to also, is that everything that I am it, everything. It's like everything that I represent, everything that makes up me, I am it at the same time. When I step in front of you, you see everything that I am. Now, you may only see bits and pieces of me first that just come up to your attention. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to know me, you'll see everything that I am. You know, because I'm giving it all to you at once. You may not pick it up at one time, but you're going to get it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what to me, I represent. I don't put one thing of one portion of me before the other portion of me because I'm everything at one time. I'm one body, one being, and as I would say, you know, the only thing you might get of me first is my face, and that's only because I don't walk backwards. You know what I'm saying?
All right now.
Okay, so it's like, but yes, everything that I am, it's like I can't say that I'm I'm black first before I'm gay or before I'm a Christian or before I'm this or before I'm that because that's one part of me, that's another part of me, and it's all making up me. You know what I'm saying? I don't walk in pieces either, you know? I am all of me at one time. So that's the mentality that I come from. And it's like, you know, some people, like I said, they just don't see it as that way because they feel like no matter what the situation is, as that question came out on television, when it comes down to the struggle, what are you first? And my thought is like, okay, well, in any aspect, I'm the one that's doing the damn struggling. So as a Christian, I'm struggling. As a black man, I'm struggling. As a gay man, I'm struggling. As whatever it is that I am, I'm struggling. So which part of, you know, what fight am I fighting right now? Because if it's an issue with being black, then yes, okay, I can fight for that too. If it's an issue being gay, I can fight for that too. If it's an issue being a Christian or a man of God, I can fight for that too. You know what I'm saying? Now, can I fight all three battles at once? No, but which one is closest to me then? You know? Which battle is right around the corner? You know, which battle is next week? You know, it's like, yeah, I can fight all of these battles, but I'm only one person. So regardless of what battle it is, you're getting all of me. You know, you're not just getting just a black man fighting. No, you're getting a black gay Christian man that's fighting you for whatever purpose that I'm fighting you for. You know what I'm saying? Whatever I'm standing up for, it's all of me standing up for me, not just that part of me. You know?
Right. That's just like fighting for your family.
Yeah.
You don't pick which one of your family members you're going to fight for.
Exactly.
If it's your family members, regardless of who's ready for the battle, then that's the one you're going to fight for.
Exactly. Whoever needs it right now, that's who you're standing up for. That's what the whole case is. And that's why I'm like, yeah, you're not getting just a part of me. You're getting all of me. Because if I start fighting for just the 20% of me that's black, you know what I'm saying? Then you only get...
Wow, only 20, Ross? Only 20?
Well, I'm saying, if you got five different, and I just say that because I'm just thinking numbers, you know. But if you get five different things that make you up, then that's 20% this, 20% that, 20% is all 20%, you know. So it's like, but you basically saying that, you know, if I'm only fighting for just that part of me, then you are not getting all of me, basically. You know, you're not getting me. You're getting that part of me. And that's not a fair fight.
But my question is,
because I hear this from a lot of, because I do watch a lot of gay black YouTubers, and a lot of them do talk about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they focus being more as a black gay man than a lot of the people that they encounter. Like, a lot of people that watch them and listen to them are not gay black men. But I don't know if it's a thing that they have to deal with every day, because it's just like me saying to a black straight man, you know, you're not dealing with something every time you go outside the door. You're not dealing with, you know, racism all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that because I am a black female.
Right.
Now, I deal with racism, yes. But is it that the conversation comes about a lot because of what they see, or because of what actually happens to them?
It's kind of like both, because now I remember the first time when I asked that question many years ago, it was because of a documentary that I had actually watched. It was called, I think it was called Paris is Burning. And Paris is Burning was a documentary that was done in like the early 80s, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually interviewing people, you know, that were black men, black gay men, black straight men. And that was one of the questions that I think the black straight man asked the black gay man, like, what are you first? Like, when it comes down to it, you have to be on one side or the other. And that was the thing that I think sparked this whole conversation. Because
mm-hmm.
for that person to say that now, it's like, of course, if I have a struggle that you don't have, then, of course, you only have to be on that side of that fence. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But for the struggles that I deal with, then I'm dealing with all of those struggles at the same time. Because just like you have an issue, like you're saying, being black in America, yes, you have that issue. So you know that fight. Now, you also have an issue being a female in America, because that's always been a fight. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
you have that issue. I don't have that issue, but I have another issue that I got to deal with. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, right.
Like, there's always multiple things that you have coming at you because of what you represent. And you represent
correct.
Everything that's about you. You know what I'm saying? You don't represent just different parts of what you are. You don't represent just being a black person, you know? So it's like, that's where that question came from. And it's kind of like, why is it that we got put into this situation where it's like, well, we have to choose a side? No, because I can't just turn off being gay if that's the case then. If it comes down to
mm-hmm.
it, I can't turn that part of me off and then just be this. You know what I'm saying? Because that's still a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that whole thing came from. When you're in a situation where it's like, you know what, now I see where we have our, you know, similar battles, but at that point, that might be all of where that battle actually stops. You know what I'm saying? Just that one similarity.
Mm-hmm.
We are two black men, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not to say that just because we have a black issue, that's the only issue that I have to choose to fight for, because that's not the only issue that I battle with. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be the only issue that you battle with, but that was the question that was posed. What are you first?
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, yeah, that's where that whole conversation comes up from. And I think, like, even recently with Justin Jay and Adrian, they were talking about a situation where they went to Florida, I think they said they went to. And they were visiting some colleges down there. And, you know, dealing with colleges, you got fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those kind of ideologies as to what you can do and what you can be like, because you have this to represent too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they were saying that, you know, they met a very few gay guys that were a part of fraternities, but they were saying that some of the stuff that, you know, like with Adrian, the way that he dresses, they couldn't do that kind of thing because they have this other part that they have to represent, and they can't
mm-hmm.
do that kind of stuff and represent this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it came out to Adrian, was like, well, Adrian is going to represent Adrian at any given cost, you know, because I'm
mm-hmm.
all of me. This is all of me. So it is